Police trying to find out exactly what happened. Your laundry detergent may have been recalled. Here's CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
More than 8 million bags of Tide Pods, Gain Flings, Ace Pods, and Ariel Pods are being recalled because the Consumer Product Safety Commission says the individual pods' packaging could break. That could make it easier, especially for a child, to accidentally ingest its contents. The bags were made between September 2023 and this past February. Procter & Gamble is offering consumers full refunds on lot numbers listed on its website.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Matt Nair on air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved winged thingers.
Winged thingers!
That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, winged thingers.
The winged thingers.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Keeping Racine and Kenosha connected. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. And on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. Kicking off Hour 2, we go to the John and Gordy Show from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison. This week, John and Gordy welcome to the show Jim Healy, one of the programmers of the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Mad Radio, WMDX, the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, all of your social media dial, tune it in, or the Civic Media app, easy to get, and you can tune in anywhere in the world.
That's right. I talked to somebody the other day who was on vacationing in Spain. They were listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. On vacation.
Yeah.
On the app.
Unbelievable. And we have a special guest in the studio this morning. Mm-hmm. It's Jim Healy. He was here prior to this, and we were talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival. And we're going to talk more about it because it begins tonight, one movie at least, tonight, and then it just rolls on for 8 days, 8 days a week.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You're all ready. You're all set. You're all primed for all the movies.
Yeah.
So how does it all kick off tonight? What's the...
Kicking off tonight at the Barrymore Theater.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We have a sold-out screening of Io Capitano, which is a new film by Matteo Garrone, who's one of the great contemporary Italian filmmakers. I don't know if you know the series Gomorrah, but that was based on a movie that he made. This is his latest film. It was just one of the five international features nominated for the Oscar a few months ago. It's a marvelous film.
Is it overdubbed with English?
No, or? It will be. It presented, it's mostly in French and Nigerian dialects. It's a film set in Africa and Libya.
Yeah.
It'll be presented with English subtitles.
Okay, subtitles.
All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
And that's at the Barrymore Theater, and you're going to have, of course, opening night reception.
Yes.
Lots of food.
Yes.
Popcorn.
I suppose so, yeah. I guess I think the Barrymore does do popcorn.
Gotta have popcorn. Real butter on the popcorn.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Diets don't matter anymore. We found that out this morning.
Oh, I'm a popcorn
previous
fanatic.
I am too.
A good fresh popcorn.
Always, yeah.
You know, the best way to make it is the stir crazy made out of West Bend.
No.
Yeah. It's a stir bar. And you put your oil in there and a popcorn and stirs it just like in the movie theaters. Yeah,
John,
I have
you
that.
Just can't help giving food advice.
No, it's right.
What is wrong with me, right?
Lately, you've just been all over that.
And then I go to Badger Popcorn.
Yes.
And they have great popcorn there. It's a very,
you get your supplies
it's
there.
It's a great hybrid popcorn, by the way. Big kernels, yes. And I get, and I mix the white and the yellow together because the yellow is very corny.
Wow.
And the white is nice and fluffy and tasty as well. So then you know.
I thought I was a popcorn fanatic.
Is that fanaticism? It could be.
What kind of box do you like for your popcorn? Yeah. Do you like trapezoid box?
I have the little tubs that you can buy at the store, and it says popcorn on the side.
Disposable or that?
No, those are permanent. Okay. Permanent plastic tubs. Plastic.
Can we talk about the movies again here? What else is going on?
All right. Well, anyway, so the opening night is tonight at the Barrymore, but we've got, then every movie you can possibly think of is going to be out there in the theaters around Madison. And what are some of the theaters that they can see some of these movies?
So we're at the Barrymore tonight and through the end of the festival. So we'll be there until next Thursday.
All right.
And then starting tomorrow
on campus,
we will be at the Chazen Museum of Art, the mm-hmm. UW Cinematheque at Vilas Hall, the Music Hall building on Park mm-hmm. Street, and also the Marquee Theater at Union South.
Yes.
And then on Monday, mm-hmm. we're only at the Barrymore and three screens out at Flicks Brewhouse at the Eastgate.
That's right. Yeah.
How many films will you be showing during the film festival altogether?
Movies of varying length, so shorts and features. Yeah. It's right around 150.
Wow.
We're usually around that number every year.
Yeah.
You know, one movie that stood out for me,
please,
all these fairly artsy documentaries and movies, is The Tingler.
Oh.
I mean,
I don't know The Tingler. What is that?
The Tingler is one of the more interesting movies ever made.
Okay, well, first of all, this is a film from 1959 that was released by Columbia Pictures. And in the festival this year, we are celebrating...
Are you actually going to do all of the things that they wanted the theaters to do at the time?
We're trying. We're bringing in a specialist to install what is known as Percepto.
Yes, Percepto.
Which was William Castle's gimmick. Castle was the writer, the producer-director of The Tingler. And with every film, starting with The House on Haunted Hill, he had a gimmick. Usually ended with the word O. So House on Haunted Hill had Emerjo, and later on 13 Ghosts had Illusiono. But Percepto is... I think it's meant to suggest that you will be able to perceive with this special process that when the tingler has entered the theater, and then, of course, in order to save yourselves, you must scream for your lives.
Scream real loud.
Scream very loud, and that will that will render the tingler useless.
Now, if you don't know what the tingler is, it's a spine.
Everybody has a tingler. It grows on your spine.
But you have to be frightened when you die.
Right.
And that brings life to the spine, the tingler.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And Vincent Price plays a coroner in the film who removes a tingler from the spine. It gets loose.
And it gets loose.
In a theater.
Oh, no.
And then it will get loose in our theater. We have two screenings of the tingler tomorrow night in Percepto. That's part of our Columbia Pictures 100th anniversary celebration.
And that's at the Cinematheque.
At the Cinematheque at Vilas Hall.
Yeah. By the way, I think you're part of that, aren't you?
Sam?
Yeah, I'm going to be running all the projectors over at the Chazen this weekend.
Oh, okay, Chazen. All right. Okay.
We have we have some 35mm film screening at the Chazen.
Yep.
Sam's
yep.
one of our 35mm projectionists.
One of the great editors also, you know, in case it breaks or burns.
That's great.
Fingers crossed that doesn't happen. It's not fun, but it does.
It does happen. Oh, no. All right. Well, we're going to have, I'm going to bring in the trailer for The Tingler as well. With, you know, Will and Castle.
You'll hear William
a little
Castle.
Introduction. It's fantastic stuff.
Okay. So what? Let's highlight at least a few more of these films coming up over the first part of the festival. It goes for 8 days total, right? Oh, we're talking with Jim Healy about the Wisconsin Film Festival here. And by the way, you can call us if you have questions at 608-879-8255. Call us or text with a question if you have about the Wisconsin Film Festival.
We have things from all over the world
and
throughout film history. So, when, you know, in fact, on Sunday morning, we're showing two back-to-back Frank Capra silent films from 1928. We're going to have live piano accompaniment. That's also
excellent.
Part of the Columbia retrospective that's in the festival. And
there's something great about silent films. I just love, especially the comedies of like Buster Keaton, you know, Chaplin, all the greats, you know.
One of these films is a straight comedy called So This Is Love. It's really terrific. It ends in a boxing ring, and it's fun. And then the other film is Way of the Strong, which is kind of a gangster melodrama, but it has a sense of humor, too. It's terrific.
Now, there was a movie, a dirt bike movie, made in Wisconsin.
A dirt bike movie?
I did.
What are you talking
about? Yeah, a woman... young woman was into the dirt bike thing just east of us, off of Highway 90, and she passed away due to an accident. And I'm just trying to find what that is.
Oh, this is something in the festival?
Yes.
Oh, this is probably one of our Wisconsin's own selections.
Yes, absolutely.
I've only seen a few of those. Ben Reiser's our guy who's in charge of programming the Wisconsin's own film.
Okay.
So that's...
it's like Dirty Angels, or I can't remember.
Sorry, I wish I had the title.
I'm trying to find it, and it can't. There's so many
looking
movies,
at the guide.
You know.
Yeah, where can you get a guide, by the way, or online?
This was in the newspaper.
Okay.
It was in one of the supplements.
It's in Isthmus. Yeah, I don't know if it has been put in one of the other newspapers, too. It was in this month's issue of Isthmus.
Yeah, that's
where
this
comes
from.
You can get it there.
You can still get that.
And we have the full schedule online, which is wifilmfest.org. And,
So general admission is about $12 each and every event. And you can buy an all-festival pass, which is $325.
Get you in everything.
But I want to kind of get into the reason why.
Sure.
This is such a fantastic deal, an idea that has been around for a long time. That's why this film festival has been very successful.
Sure.
And that is to see these movies in the theater for the very first time.
Right. And that's...
for this generation.
That's the idea. Yeah. I mean, this is why the artists who made them. So they're to be seen in a cinema space, right? In a theater where the lights are off, you're with an audience, and everyone's attention is... wrapped, and everyone's cell phones are off, and they're paying attention to one screen all at the same time. This is what movie going is, and so this is an opportunity for people to indulge, and not only that, to see things that you know, maybe normally would be receiving regular distribution. And some of the films we're showing, you know, will be released on local screens in the weeks and months following the festival, but a lot of things won't. This will be the only opportunity to see, you know, something like Il Capitano, which is Oscar nominated, and several other premieres that we're going to have next week. And and this is the chance to see them, you know, as they were intended, with an audience, mm-hmm. and to experience the cinema of the world. We have things from you know, almost all the continents, and then things from throughout film history too.
Jimmy, are people going back to the movies, generally speaking? I'm not talking about the festival now, but just overall, is the film industry recovered from the pandemic? Are people going back to see the big blockbusters and all the other movies that are coming?
We definitely noticed a spike in attendance at the festival last year. That seemed to be kind of like, okay, we're coming back. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're here. And then, you know, our trends tend to go with the industry, and that's mm-hmm. exactly what was happening with mm-hmm. theaters. And then suddenly last summer we had the writer's strike and the actor's strike, which put productions on hold, which screwed up the studio schedules. And we're talking about Hollywood here, and the mega productions, mm-hmm. and there are less of those being made. And so I think, you know, we've kind of been in a box office slump since like the holiday season. Right. I think things mm-hmm. are starting to come back now with King Kong and Godzilla.
That's great. Yeah, that's an amazing series. Yeah. You know, it just kind of crept up on everybody, and all of a sudden, you know, all these King Kong, Godzilla movies are out there now.
Yeah, well, then
one got an Academy Award.
The Japanese Godzilla Year Zero that came out last year is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Angels of Dirt is the movie that is local.
Thank you.
That
very
was the
much.
Movie I was trying to think of at Thank the Barrymore you. Theater, and that is on Sunday.
Great.
7:18, we're coming right back with Jim Healy from the Wisconsin Film Festival.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together.
You're listening to WRJN, Racine and Kenosha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to WRJN's The Don Rosen Show, where this week Don welcomed in former WRJN morning air personality and program director Jim Sorensen, who remembers his years at the station.
At 7:08 at WRJN Radio, hometown radio refreshed, a Civic Media station. I'm Don Rosen. Tom Carco joining me here in studio today because today is WRJN historical marker number 7, lucky 7. Jim Sorensen, former morning air personality here at WRJN Radio before I got here. And I think he came with the bricks in the building. Jim Sorensen is here. Hey, Jim, thanks for joining us this morning. I do appreciate it.
Pleasure being here. I had to get up anyway. I got a colonoscopy scheduled for later.
You don't really.
Figures.
You don't really. Okay, good. I just. Yeah, that last night would have been the worst night of your life. It's not the colonoscopy. It's the night before the colonoscopy. I know. I've had a couple of them. By the way, I did read something the other day. They said they have done colonoscopies where they found living organisms like insects and everything inside during a colonoscopy, and I want my doctor to know if he finds anything in there. I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't need to know that.
Yeah, I don't need that either. So, Jim, before we begin with your WRJN career, where am I calling now? Where do you live now?
South Florida, Southeast Florida. I live in Boca Raton.
Okay, when did you start in radio? What year are we talking? That not here, but in radio.
1965, maybe late 4, early 5. WFNY in Racine. I have no idea what's happened to it, you know, since then, of course. But in those days, its tower was right outside the studio building, and it was at the land end of the pier down on the lake. And that tower and its light on top served as an aiming point for people who were trying to bring boats into the harbor. That and the lighthouse, of course.
So when did you come to WRJN?
1971, late in 1971. I'd gotten married earlier in that year, several months earlier, and my wife decided that it would be a good idea if I actually had a job and that paid something. And WRJN in those days was a union radio station, so we all belonged to AFTRA-SAG, and the engineers were IBEW, and I don't think there was another one but the two. But then it was run like people at the time would have looked at the movies and said, oh, that's a radio station. They got a guy who runs the console, and they've got a guy who talks on a big-ass microphone and things like that.
Yeah. You did. Now, did you have your engineering? Were you technically an engineer or capable engineer at that point?
I studied physics in college.
Did you?
And one of the things that you learn quickly when you are a physics student is that if you're not really, 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 really good at it, you're going to starve to death. So you go out and you set the exam for a couple of state licenses so you can at least have a job of some sort. I did that. I had state licenses, and then I wrote the exam for the federal license, which was more complicated in those days than it is now. I don't think it even exists anymore.
Okay. Because I remember when I came here in 79 that you had that first-class license. We all saw that up there. It's like, oh, this guy's special.
No, it wasn't anything special about it. It was just what was required to work. The requirement the FCC had at that time was that if you were going to operate the transmitter of a directional AM station, you had to have a first-class license.
Well, for third-classers, that was a big deal, to see a first-class license, okay?
Why? Because it was...
I never posted the state licenses. Those were actually kind of plain-looking.
So you start here, and it's an engineer shop, right? You've got union people here. So how does that work? For people who have no concept of this, listening to this, how does that work? You're an announcer. You come in. You have to work with engineers who have to operate the equipment, right?
Yeah. The engineers, under the contract at the time, in the IBEW contract, which is the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, by the way, those guys, we as announcers, performers on the radio, we could do anything, including what they did in terms of operating the console, turning a microphone on and off, that kind of thing. What we could not do, however, was we couldn't push the record button on a tape recorder. That had to be done by an engineer. And so when we'd come time to record commercials, for example, we would sit in the studio with a big microphone in front of us, and the engineer would be on the other side of the glass operating the console, and we would use hand signals back and forth to what we're supposed to be doing. And then we would just lay down the voice tracks, and they would put them into the commercials later on.
Quick story. When I was at WSB, it was a union shop, and we had TV, radio, newspaper, we had everything there in that building. And one day I'm coming down the hallway, and there's a Boy Scout troop getting a tour, and the young lady giving the tour is very small, very short, and she couldn't reach the speaker volume in the hallway people could see. So I upped it for her. Within 1 hour, I was called to the program director's office with a union grievance against me because I turned the volume up on the speaker. He said, don't ever do that again. You call an engineer, and they will do it. I said, but she was out in the hallway with the... I don't care what she was out in the hallway. Don't do it again. So I never did.
Rules is rules.
Some guys are stricter than others. I mean, we used to have things where when you wanted to know what the level was, you pointed at the number on the dial, and the guy would turn the knob for you. Yeah, it's the same idea.
So who were some of those engineers back then, if you remember?
Dave DeZurek was the chief engineer, and his assistant was a guy by the name of Gene Butterfield. And
who passed away, unfortunately, not too long ago.
Yeah, great engineer, great human being too. Love that guy.
Yeah, Dave was a good one of the best engineers I've ever worked for in terms of broadcasting engineers. He went off and worked for IBM after he left the business.
Yeah, David followed Stan Fisher as chief engineer.
He knew Stan quite well. He was a very nice man.
Stan had followed Lee Deccant.
There's a story about Stan, of course. those of you who have, you know what the building looks like because you guys work in it. But the basement, of course, is, for one thing, it's extra deep. It's very deep, and there's a reason for that. The second thing is it's got a full kitchen in it, and you guys know that too. And Stan Fisher used to cook lunch and breakfast sometimes down in that kitchen and serve it to the staff. He was a character and a half.
I happened to, out of the blue, Lyman Marin's son David called me last night. I hadn't talked to him in decades. He mentioned Stan Fisher cooking down there. Said he used a garbage can, a metal garbage can, a clean one, I'm assuming, and cooked roast beef in that thing.
I've heard that. I never had the opportunity to participate in it, but I heard the story.
So the story,
you know why the basement is so deep, don't you?
Right. I was going to get to that. Why is it so deep, so tall?
Because at one point, first we'll start outside. Go outside and look at the tower. You'll see the tower is what's called in the tower business a composite tower. It is paper legged on part of it and straight on part of it. The straight part, which is now a truss or a lattice type truss, at one point in time when I joined the company, it was a slot antenna. It was a 2 foot diameter aluminum tube, basically with a slot down one side, that was that length and stood right where that truss is now, and it was for an FM station. The FM station used to broadcast from that. It got to the point where structurally it was so distressed that it was threatening to fall and land on cars in the parking lot, so they decided to spend the money to have a truss put on there. Since the FM had gone away anyway, it became, I think, WRKR, if I'm not mistaken, in those days.
Jim, we got to take a break here, so can hang on to that, and we'll come back.
Want to hear the story?
Yes,
want to hear everything. Jim Sorensen's here. It is WRJN Historical Marker number 7. Tom Carco joining in the conversation here. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station.
The Don Rosen Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WRJN weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
Originally the home of the Milwaukee Braves, now your home for the Milwaukee Brewers.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
CBS News Brief. Eclipse parties are in full swing with the big event just under 2 days away. This Ida Bell, Oklahoma resident says the influx of visitors will help the town.
I'm sure it'll give an economic boost to the stores and the motels and all that, so that'll be a good thing.
Israel says its military has recovered the body of a man held hostage since the October 7th Hamas attacks. The BBC's Hugo Bachega says there have been more protests calling for a deal for hostage releases.
Many believe that the prime minister is only interested in his political survival, and the families demand a deal.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is in China talking about its relationship with Russia.
We've been clear with China that we see Russia as gaining support from goods that Chinese firms are supplying to Russia.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The Brewers with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Mariners 6-5 at AmFam Field. Home runs by Christian Yelich, Willie Adames, and Brewers third baseman Oliver Dunn on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
26 years of age now. Fourth year in the big leagues. That ball's hit well right field. Oliver Dunn is going to watch this one fly. How about it? His first big league homer. Oliver Dunn makes it 3-0. What a moment for him as he runs.
NBA, the Bucks lose at home to the Raptors, 117-111. Toronto able to end a 15-game losing streak. That's the Bucks' third loss in a row this week to teams like the Wizards, the Grizzlies. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, the last three were against three bad teams, you know, and to me that's inexcusable for all of us. As I told them, I said, this is on me. I got to figure out what we got to do to play at a higher pace, especially the second quarter. Second and third quarter were crushes for us.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a mostly clear sky and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, increasing clouds, some showers developing, highs to the mid-40s and breezy. Early clouds on Monday, then becoming sunny, highs warm up into the low 60s. Tuesday, mostly sunny and upper 50s. Right now it's 48.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Big deals.
Now you can shop local without leaving your chair. The WRJN Big Deals are here, and you can save from 30 to 50% on great local food, entertainment, and merchandise. Log on to WRJN.com and click on the Big Deals tab. You'll find savings on Tony Chen's Chinese restaurant, the Lanes on 20, and breakout escape rooms. It's easy, it's local, and you'll save 30 to 50%. It's at WRJN.com. Click on Big Deals.
This is Don Rosen. You know, it's great to be welcomed back to WRJN to super serve the folks in the Racine and surrounding areas every morning, 6 to 8 on 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM. WRJN, hometown radio refreshed.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRJN website at WRJN.com. Your news just for the Racine-Kenosha area. I'm Stuart J. Waddles with WRJN News.
Ready to hit a home run at your next tailgate or special event? Step up to the plate with Danny's Meats and Catering. They're your MVP to irresistible box lunches. Become the game day grill master with the Danny's freezer pack full of meat selections. Whatever the occasion, Danny's has you covered with a winning lineup of top-notch venue, catering, and Hickory Hall packages that will knock it out of the park. Why settle for anything less than a grand slam? Swing by 4 Mile Road in Racine or cateringbydanny.com.
Hola, amigos. Experience the flavor-filled fiesta of La Fogata Mexican Grill in Kenosha.
Home of the Don Rosen Morning Show. Weekdays 6 till 8. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Next up, we go to Mino and the Mayor from WGBW. They welcome Eric Brundridge to talk semi-pro football and his clothing brand, Life Love Incorporated.
California, Pennsylvania?
Yep. All right. I know it's conference. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor. We're here with Eric. Eric, I want to make sure I pronounce your last name right. Brundridge?
Yeah.
Brundidge.
Yes, you pronounced it right.
Eric Brundidge.
Yeah.
From Life Love Incorporated, and it's a fascinating story, and you're kind of a hot commodity around these parts right now, and it's a great story. I mean, you know, we've had thousands of people come in and try out for the Packers over the years, and, you know, 1% of 1,000 make it, and you stuck around, you played a little bit for the Blizzard, stuck around, and you just liked Green Bay. Give me a little bit of your background before we move into what you're doing now as a And we love talk about entrepreneurs on this show. That's one of our favorite things we love to do. And this is right in our wheelhouse with what you do. Talk a little bit, first of all, about your background, if you don't mind.
So I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
What high school?
Northeast High School.
Oh, that's a tough part of town.
Yeah.
Isn't that by Temple?
Yeah. It's kind of like in the Northeast Philadelphia area. Temple is kind of like closer more to like downtown area.
Okay. All right.
You guys might not know it, but I don't know if you know who Tony Danza is.
Of course. I met Tony Danza. Actually, I did.
I was a stand-in for him.
Can I finish or no?
Go ahead.
I was working in Tucson, Arizona, KOLD TV, Channel 13. Uh-huh. And Tony Danza came out there to train because he was going to try to do some boxing once again. And he actually boxed an exhibition, and I met Tony Danza. I got to know Tony Danza pretty well.
Was he a nice guy?
Not so good.
Well, we got a nice guy here, so from the same area. Did you guys go to high school? How do you know him? Or he's just from your area?
He had a show that he did my junior year of high school called, I believe it was like Teach.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually at my high school. I actually got an opportunity to work behind the scenes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So we did like a little intern.
You know what my favorite show is right now? Abbott Elementary. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
Oh, about that elementary school in Philadelphia? Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, my God. And they got the one hardcore Italian teacher there. You know? So you get a lot of them in Philly, don't you?
Oh, yeah. You definitely do.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so you went to high school in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And?
So after high school in Philadelphia, I ended up getting a scholarship to go to Westchester. And that's kind of where I really dived into, like, you know, my own, you know, because kind of college was giving that, you know, that opportunity to kind of, like, you know, be yourself. You don't have to worry about mom and dad. You know, you got to be more responsible, take more responsibility. So that's kind of when I got a little bit more serious about, like, the clothing brand and football.
Can I ask one quick question?
Yep.
Did John Spagnuolo go to Westchester?
John Spagnuolo.
Played tight end for the Eagles, then the Packers, then became a sportscaster? No? There's somebody in the pros that went to Westchester. I'll think of it, but go ahead.
John Spagnuolo. That name does sound really, really familiar, but we do got a guy by the name of Lee Woodall.
Oh, sure.
Really good.
Absolutely.
One of my former teammates, Al Hashbaz, he